I just curse for an hour, twice a week.
Go home?
Yeah, exactly. I don't unbutton my shirt. Boom, I'm Chris Sims.
There are only two people who have ever done up to top buttons. Chris Sims and then the film director David Lynch. And his show is called Unbuttoned. It's ridiculous.
He must
be confronted.
What's up? They're getting on me about
They are a little bitter that I come on this show.
Are they?
Draft season.
I can feel it.
I kind of sit there between them.
I know. I kind of want to see the video now so I can look at the face
the
a little bit and just feel it a little bit more. I can't always understand what the hell Jay is saying with
part
his Australian.
Right.
I was like, wait, what the fuck did Jay just say? Huh? Come back at me, mate? I don't know. So I want to hear it again, honestly. That's what I want to hear. And then I know Barry is talking shit. I know he was. So
Barry's basically synopsis of this podcast is button my shirt, curse a couple times, and go home.
Oh, that's great.
He doesn't roll in. You know, with a Diet Coke.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like 4 minutes before, it's like, I don't like this fantasy.
Four minutes.
Or when the show started,
we're live on Peacock throughout the season,
five
to 6 days a week.
Yeah.
There's times where we're at the 20-second marker,
and he's not.
And I'm like, man, we better put a jetpack on him right now.
I know you've had shows where I've been outside in the car, and the show's about to start, and he's driving in. I've seen it. I still haven't talked to him about this. I still haven't said this. I was at a stop sign right out here. There's the 4-way stop sign.
Yeah.
It was me, one of the big bosses at NBC, right?
Yep. I could make a guess. Go on.
And he. Right? And I didn't know it was he at first, as in Barry. We all kind of pulled up, me and top executive for NBC here, right? Pull up first. Barry is clearly third. Clearly. By the time I look at my guy to wave executive to go, Barry's already gone. And he's on his phone and not even looking.
That's terrifying.
He's literally like this and turning. And I've been meaning to talk to him about it for a while because that's, you know, I need to actually punch him in the arm probably.
This is the proper way now.
Right.
Like, sometimes you got to bully people out of bad habits.
Yeah, right.
This is bullying out of
a bad
habit.
Yeah, plus he's talking about my unbuttoned shirt, so now I got to talk shit to him.
If you, Barry, and a top executive got into a 3-way crash in front of the studio, everybody's safe. But that story would live on.
I know.
For the end of time.
I've been meaning to because I've told other people at work about it, and I haven't brought it up with him. So at some point I will. All right, but stick up for me, all right?
I will.
One thing I know is that you and me can take those two all day long.
I think we're in good shape.
All day long.
I think you and I are the unified tag team champions of NBC.
Exactly. We'll get together. We'll take Jay. He might be a little work.
100%.
And we'll fend off Barry with an arm for a minute. And then we'll tag team him and just really kick the crap out of him.
It's a great strategy.
Okay,
kicking the studio door.
Good. We got to figure it out.
I like it.
All right. You know what week it is. It's draft week. Yes, it is. That's right. Connor Rogers is here. He's hosting the show today. He's the man. Thanks for coming in as always. Cool little jacket you got on there too. Ahmed did hear us making fun of him and his wardrobe last time, and we're gonna do it again because Ahmed's just not as cool as you. He does not have your wardrobe, but it's an awesome week. Excited for that mock draft day today. Okay, we're gonna do a little bit of that. What I think is going to happen. Of course, I don't know. I'm not going on what I would do. I'm going on what I think, what I've heard. I've got some inklings from some people. It's a very hard thing to do. We'll see. And then Wednesday, we're going to do a little AMA just to throw that out there for people. I'm going to unleash some things I've heard around the league about the draft and kind of go more in depth with that. Thursday for the draft, we'll be in the barn. Drinky, drinky, smoky, smoky. You're welcome to come hang if you want, just so you know.
Can you get me out of my obligations?
Well, I didn't know what your obligations were there. So
I'll be here.
You'll be here?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you would.
As of now.
Well, yep. My place is going to be more fun. I'm just going to tell you that.
I believe it. I listened to it last year after, and I was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were in the wrong place.
We got sauced up. We got pretty good.
It looked awesome.
Yep.
It looked awesome.
Thanks.
All right. We'll make that happen one year.
Yep.
You also have traits this mock draft, which I absolutely love because predicting trades is where the real bread is made, the real winners are made. And these are really like on the nose. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this one.
All right. We'll see. I tried to do, you know, I tried not to over trade. In years past, I've kind of been like, I'm just not going to do any trades because like it's such a, just like a, but like I've heard this year, thoughts, things you hear. I've heard, ooh, this team likes this player. And I kind of just went, you know, I'm going to go with like my guts and instincts on this a little bit here and there and see what I can pull out. So, I got three different trades. I thought about a fourth at the end of the first round. I think there's a number of teams at the end of the first round. Detroit, the 49ers. I look at those two teams specifically and go, I don't know if a player of need fits that spot right there. They might trade down and acquire picks. I didn't do that, but we'll get into that as we get down the board here.
And it feels like the Ravens are back there. They're always collect picks.
Exactly,
without a doubt. Yeah. So a reminder, last year in round one, there were six trades.
Yeah.
The year before that, there were eight.
Oof.
There's projected 5 to 6 quarterbacks to go in the first round this year. That kind of always cranks up the amount of trades.
Right.
The receiving talent and offensive line talent could do that as well. And it's kind of a good reminder, you know, even the best people at this, you know, are far off from having a high hit rate.
Right.
Now, somebody who did knock it out of the park in terms of trades last year, Daniel Jeremiah, predicted the Texans to trade up to pick number 2 and 3 last year was probably
predicted.
Yeah, the first time in history a mock draft has really nailed it.
Because somebody told me. That's why I was laughing.
Right.
Somebody told me that gathered intel. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But that was amazing.
Just guessing trades.
Yeah.
Right. That is a good point about this exercise, is that people doing mock drafts that have information are, you know,
yeah,
telling you what they
know. That was awesome. That was, you know, everybody will be looking for that from him this year, right?
So the eyes are on, you know, Jeremiah's
definitely
mock, the last mock draft.
Definitely, right. Because it's going to be there. And I think that'll probably lead to him not being quite as accurate this year. Because
you can't
someone's
do it every
low
year.
Right, exactly.
Then
right.
People just don't ever speak to you again, as you and I both know.
Well, yeah, definitely.
You gotta
exactly right.
And be very careful.
And what he did last year, yeah. It was so crazy. You were like, that's not going to happen, right? Like, but that's cool. That's cool he did that. I like the thought, we got his, you know, Will Anderson up there and all that, but damn, he nailed that one. Certainly had the inside info. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, I don't even know what I would have gotten right last year. I wonder. I mean, I'm sure I got one or two right, but I don't think many more than that. Mel Kiper got one, right?
It's crazy.
And he's the master of the draft. And
that's,
I'm not
crazy
trying to say that to take a shot on Mel, just to say, like,
no,
what Pete wrote
you
here. This shit is hard.
Right.
This shit is hard. It's not easy to figure this stuff out.
And to, you know, kind of put it in perspective, DJ last year had Bryce Young, Stroud, Will Anderson all correct. Then he had Will Levis to the Colts.
Well, that kind of gives you it all. Right.
It goes to show you,
right,
like, even the best guys,
right,
can be, you know, 25 spots off on,
yeah,
a player.
Right. Not even going in the first round.
Right.
I mean, yeah. So it is. And, you know, some of these, like, again, you're blind. You're a blind squirrel looking for a nut. Is that what they say, right? Or a blind squirrel looking for an acorn, I guess, is more of the.
They do say nut.
They do, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But some of these, you have no idea what that team's feel or thought is. So you just try to make your best guesstimation on some things you've heard, evaluations, whatever. But, yeah, you're going to be in the dark here. And, like, some of the ones that are drafting quarterbacks, right, some of those teams are, as I've told people here, like, some of the teams I'm least connected to. So I don't have anybody there that I have comfortable conversations along that way, right? And, you know, with the quarterback position, and when it becomes that type of team and they need the draft pick, that's the least conversations I've ever had with anybody in every year. The team that needs quarterback is the team I can promise you I talk to less or the least about quarterbacks in every draft process, because they don't want anybody to figure it out or glean any info or you know, let their stuff get out.
The thing I find, Chris, hardest too with the quarterback conversation is, even if you know people there or connected to there, the amount of, like, convoluted opinions in one building.
Yeah, one building.
Like,
exactly.
You can have an offensive coordinator that likes the consensus fifth quarterback in the draft, number one. And then you could have a GM that's like, I would never take that guy there. And you don't know who's going to win.
No, that's
why. You just have no idea who's
going to
win.
Exactly right. That's why I think you can have guys like me and you know, maybe Danielle Jeremiah wrong on pick 4, because he might have had somebody credible in Indianapolis who was kind of in the Will Levis camp. It was like, you know, we like Levis, but that person maybe just didn't know that Chris Ballard liked Richardson more,
right,
or whatever. And that's where, you know, you can be wrong. You could talk to a few people in an organization and think, ooh, they are leaning this way. And then you come out, the pick's made, you text those people and go, wait, I thought you were leaning this way. And he went, GM and the head coach like the other guy better. Like, we kind of had a civil war in the building, whatever. They wanted that guy. They won, whatever, and that's kind of how it goes down.
And then you have teams that might not even feel any way about a quarterback, but the owner needs a franchise quarterback because they need something to be excited about. So there's just so many weird gray areas of quarterbacks in the draft that makes it that hard.
Quarterback always makes it weird, right? I think in the media we all over you know, do it. The talk, oh, it's higher up the draft board than they probably should be, right? I think that's part of that. And then this year, hey, as we get into this mock draft like we're about to here in a second, pick two has become a crazy thing all of a sudden. Because, again, as I know, right, and I've been led to believe this from people in the league, and people knew this to a degree. Jaden Daniels wants to go to the Raiders. That's period. He's been kind of giving Washington the cold shoulder ever since this whole process started. Not that he's not willing to go there, but just more of like, I'd rather go to the Raiders, right? So that's been out there. And then I think it came to a head last week with them bringing all the quarterbacks in when he thought he was going to be the only one in there by himself. So that pissed him off. That pissed their camp off, right? Now, I don't think it's pissed them off to the point where they're like, Washington, don't draft us, right?
Yeah.
You know, but it certainly made things uncomfortable. And of course, if that does come to that point where it's like Jaden Daniels says something, well, that's going to throw this whole draft into a frenzy here and what could happen. And all of a sudden there's a lot of different tunnels and tentacles, right, to where this can go if Washington doesn't take Jaden Daniels at number two.
The last I did hear, that visit that, you know, was the talk of town, I heard it was fine, though. It ended up being fine.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure they were openly not happy that everyone was there.
Yeah.
But I heard at the end of the day,
It wasn't a deal breaker.
So let's jump right into the mock draft.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because that's kind of where it has to start. Obviously, number one, you're going to have the Bears take Caleb Williams because the Bears are taking Caleb Williams. Like, what do you want us to say?
Damn, one for one.
Yep.
Bam.
Everybody gets one this year.
Everybody gets one this year. You're right. Yeah, I mean, come on. We know. This is done. It's in the books. He's extremely talented. You know I love him. I don't see too many flaws with them. And I think when you just look at Chicago, and of course, I just, you know, go back to the GM and the fact that he came from Kansas City before he came the GM. He's seeing this guy who's got some of those Mahomes-ish type of traits, right? It's a no-brainer. So Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears, I'm really excited to see that. And of course, I think the Bears, even without Caleb Williams, were a team that I would have said, watch out for this year. The D is real, right? We've talked about this on some past podcasts, the way they played at the end of the year. Offense has got some potential, too, with Keenan Allen. The O-line, I think, is better than people realize. The tight end, Cole Kmet's pretty freaking big time. You know, so they got something working there in Chicago. I'm excited for what it could look like with Caleb Williams.
And we'll get to their ninth overall pick. That's only going to make the team that much better.
Yeah.
So number two, the Commanders.
I'm interested to hear your thought on what I do at nine there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number two, the Commanders. You have them going Jaden Daniels.
I do. I have enough info for where, like you just discussed, it's not like don't pick me, right? There's obviously a little friction there. And yeah, sure, he wants to go with an old friend and Antonio Pierce, but he's still willing to go. Yeah. And hey, you go to a place like Washington, again, I look at that as a place where I know we all question what's going on in the organization right now, right? But like as a quarterback, that to me is the place where like a Mahomes to Kansas City or even a Burrow to the Bengals or even like CJ Stroud to Houston, it's like they haven't had one in a while or they've never had one that's been like the guy for a long time. You can be that guy there, and then they have some talent at receiver, right? That to me should be encouraging to Jaden Daniels from that standpoint. That'd be a situation, wow, storied franchise. They've never really had that big-time guy, right? They went to the Super Bowl and won, you know, three Super Bowls with three different damn quarterbacks in the 80s, right? So they're a little different that way. Here's the thing to me, when I've been saying this, because it feels like if they didn't do Jaden Daniels, they would do Drake May, right? That's what it feels like.
And again, I agree.
I have no inside info. But as I was talking about this on the show today at PFT, we were talking about the Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Washington conundrum, right? I had somebody that I really trust connected to the situation who texted me and said, it will not be Drake May at two. Okay? So that was like the first time I had heard anything stone cold from somebody I trust about Washington and the quarterback situation. All right? And that was the text I get, right? It will not be Drake May at number two. So that means, okay, if it's not Jaden Daniels, there's somebody else they like or some other plan or whatever else they're going to do. But either way, I think at the end of the day, you know, even with this little discontent or whatever else is out there, Jaden Daniels is too talented, right? And it wouldn't be the first time ever a guy wasn't like, hey, I'm not sure if I want to go there. There's another place, but it all works out in the end anyways. And you can't let the player kind of hold the team hostage. I expect them to take him.
What do you think of the fit with Jaden and Cliff Kingsbury?
I mean, I don't see anything that's glaring to me.
Right.
You know, the thing I like about Jaden, he's got a quick, compact motion. If he's in the shotgun and got to get some of those quicker spread-type throws out, I think he's very capable of that, right? Cliff's usually pretty good at, you know, the one of the beauties about him with Arizona and Kyler Murray is, hey, they spread you out. Hey, okay, he picks you apart. He makes a few throws, whatever, but they spread you out too, and then you got a quarterback that runs, and you're like, shit, we got to worry about these pass concepts, and they're spreading us all over the field. Now they got lanes for a guy that's a super freak when it comes to running the football to open it up, and I kind of like that aspect.
All right, so number three, this is where the fun gets crazy. This is where it gets crazy. What did you do at number three?
Number three, I had now the Vikings making the trade with the New England Patriots, right? I you know, not that I know this either, but from people, again, around the league and whatever else, I think New England wants to trade out of there. Mm-hmm. New England wants to take, I think has to take a quarterback, though. Right, that's the biggest thing. That right now, again, they got Bailey Zappe and Jacoby Brissett. I mean, they're going to take something here, but I don't think they are comfortable with taking any of these guys at number three. I think Minnesota's desperate. They're going to get somebody in there that they feel like can run their offense and be the future for Kevin O'Connell. I have no inside info on J.J. McCarthy here. Of course, Drake May is an interesting one here, too, because of the Josh McCown connection,
right?
And him coaching Drake May back in high school and that relationship. So I don't know if I'm right here, but I certainly think J.J. McCarthy fits Kevin O'Connell's offense, right? Underneath center, JJ's going to be very comfortable with that. Play action game, crossers over the middle, all that. So that's what JJ did in Michigan. So I'm kind of going off of that system fit, guy I like, and, you know, there's that. But the Drake May thing certainly went into my thinking here as well of going, wait, maybe would they go Drake May here, you know? Do they feel like, hey, we got Sam Darnold, and this is great for Drake May? He can sit for a year, and we can work with him, and maybe we have something after that, right? But at the end of the day, I think I'm going with here's what did it for me. I didn't know, as I'm explaining here, Kevin O'Connell's faith press conference he had at the church over the weekend when he talked about, I think I could fix a lower part of a quarterback. I don't know if I can fix the upper part of the quarterback. And to me, Drake May's got both of those problems, right? There's lower body problems and upper body problems, right? So I know some took it that way, like, as, oh, Kevin O'Connell thinks he can fix Drake May. I took it as, I heard the part where he says, there might be things I could have him for 15 years and I can't fix them. And that to me was what made my ears go. And I went, that sounds like that's Drake May. So that's kind of what led me to J.J. McCarthy. Again, though, there's no inside info here for this one.
Let me throw a wild card at you, because it's so interesting hearing you talk about the fits with O'Connell, because I think this is everybody's favorite landing spot for a rookie quarterback, like universal, across the board.
Sure.
What do you think about the fit with Penix to Minnesota? And they wouldn't have to trade to three. I'll make that very clear to get him. Like, what do you think of that kind of fit over there?
I
think they like him, too. I don't know how much, like going up to three, I don't believe. But I think they like him a lot.
I think in our traditional sense, listen, I don't think J.J. McCarthy, Penix, or Bo Nix are worth the third pick of the draft, right? But if you like a guy and you want him and you believe in him, go, sure. I think Penix would fit that.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you know, again, Penix maybe not quite as good at hopping around the pocket and doing stuff like that. Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of, hey, let's get him used to underneath the center and getting away from the line of scrimmage with all that, because he's been in the shotgun and all that. But for O'Connell, whose offense is 1-15 and 20 and 25-yard throw after another, how could you not like Michael Penix's fit in that, right? So that would make sense to me.
All right, so we'll get to more of the New England side when we go to pick 11.
Yep, we'll do that.
We'll keep this moving. The Cardinals at four go very chalk. Marvin Harrison Jr., this seems like the favorite to happen.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to argue against
it. It does. Now, as I've said here on the podcast, I I've checked with other people that I know that are in our business, and I've said, do you know anybody that has Marvin Harrison Jr. as their number one receiver? I don't. Now, I don't know all 32 teams. But I don't know anybody in my friend world that has him as number one. Now, this is one, though. I could see one safe pick, name. We got to have it work, right? It's a big pick for us and our organization. They can sell him as the Larry Fitzgerald of the future, right? there's all of that. I think the floor is very high with Marvin Harrison Jr. There's been some talk about a little bit of a off the field thing with Malik Nabers to a degree.
Lightly, yeah.
Right? So I think to that, that's why I go Marvin Harrison Jr. That just kind of what I feel through the grapevine and trusting some people that have a little feel for Arizona as well.
It is funny, though, when you look at Michael Wilson on that team, it feels like Nabers actually complements what the offense needs even more. And I love Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
But, like, to your point, Nabers is absolutely what that offense doesn't have in any capacity.
I know.
Like explosive,
right,
with and without the football.
Yeah, I know.
So I guess it shouldn't be shocking to see if Arizona went.
No, and I think that's another part where I look at it and go, ooh, things could get interesting if they go Nabers there. And then I go, that could shake some things up for sure. Right, that could shake up again. I think it could shake up number five all of a sudden. They go,
right,
wait, now Nabers is on the board or not on the board or whatever. Or this guy, I mean, there's just a lot of things there that go into the play here. But safe pick, good pedigree. He's got all the skills. He's a damn good player. Again, I know he's not my number one receiver. I got that, but he's damn good. And I'm kind of feeling that right there with number four.
So five, the Chargers, you do have them taking Joe Ault, the tackle, who would probably flip over to the right side in this situation.
Right. I guess
it'd
so.
Be interesting how they handle that. Yep. But you're buying in the Harbaugh way of let's build it all in the trenches.
I
right
think
now.
So. Yeah. Again, now I could see them maybe being in a trade down. I've had a few people tell me, like, hey, you sure they won't take J.C. Latham? This is Harbaugh and Roman. They might believe in the big mauler, right? Latham did play right tackle.
He's a right tackle.
Right? So I've had that thought out there. But again, I'm also a little bit like, hey, it's their first pick. It's their first draft. You know, man, Notre Dame tackle. Like, you can't be wrong with it a little bit. You know, it's a safe pick. Ault is definitely one of the safest picks of the draft. That's where I kind of went that way, right? And again, I don't think any of these guys, Ault, Latham, really any of the top tackles, if they had to play left or right, I don't think it's going to be a big adjustment for any of them.
It's funny, too, because Latham is what, like, every Ravens right tackle has been, where Joe Ortiz comes from.
Right.
So there is rationale to think, like, they could do it.
Exactly.
Like, there is all the, and I mean, Harbaugh has coached against Latham enough where he knows what he'd be getting.
Greg Roman seems like a little bit of a believer in that big mauler type of ex-Baltimore Raven type of O-lineman, right? Or the lineman he had with Harbaugh and the 49ers the first time around, which was those type of people. So I know that was my decision there. It was trenches all the way.
Yep.
I know some people put them as receiver. I look at it and go, that doesn't seem like a Harbaugh or the GM type of move from their history and what they believe as a team, right? And then my other thought, too, is like, if you want to get an O lineman, you got to get him there, right? I think you're better off doing the lineman here and then doing the receiver in the second.
37th overall pick.
Then the other way around.
Yes.
Exactly right. And then having a lineman that you're like, well, hey, he's good, but he's not even in the same stratosphere as the guys we were talking about taking a number five.
So the Giants at six, this is one of my favorite fits in the draft.
Yeah.
You have them taking Malik Nabers. They haven't had a threat like this since Odell Beckham.
To me, it's the most glaring thing on their team. You're just like, first off, offensive guy that can make plays. Who is that? I know Jalin Hyatt can run, and we got that. Darius Slayton can do that, too. I get it. So we got some people that get some heat to go down the field, but I don't necessarily think those are guys who, like, kind of what you were talking about a minute ago with Nabers in Arizona. They don't have a guy who can run, like, a fake shallow cross, come out, catch the ball, make somebody miss, and now get up the field for another 30 yards. That's where you just said Odell Beckham Jr. That's different. Those other guys we just talked about are kind of straight-line speed guys. They're not going to be quite as good running over the middle, the intricate routes, breaking tackles, making things happen after the catch. I think Nabers all the way here, and that would be awesome for the Giants to add him to the Daniel Jones tool set.
Seven, the Titans. Now you have J.C. Latham come off the board here. The Titans can take a tackle for either side.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, again, I almost feel like it's whatever one's left over, whoever the Chargers don't take, right? This is what they'll go with. But it's young quarterback. Right, the Callahans, they believe in offensive line. Their offensive line's been decimated the last few years. I mean, ever since they had, you know, the AFC Championship game with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill in 2019, it's slowly taken a hit every year, whether it's injuries, missed draft picks, letting Jack Conklin go in free agency. They've had it all. Taylor Lewan retiring, right? So I think it's the thing that needs to be addressed by them in a big way.
The one thing that surprised me, yeah. and we'll talk about this with the Falcons too, yeah. I've heard the Titans are a sneaky trade-out option if somebody actually had a reason to come into seven.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, Callahan's probably very confident that, like, hey, if we don't go too far down, I can still find us a really good tackle or lineman that I think fits our football team, you know? And yeah, I mean, I think as long as you don't, you know, as long as you don't go past 20, I feel like you're guaranteed to get somebody pretty damn good, right? And that's where maybe they would feel comfortable about that.
Eight, the Falcons, you have them staying put, another team that's definitely open answering the phone, but they go with Dallas Turner, which, when you look at the fit with Raheem Morris, it makes so much sense because Turner could do a lot of different things.
He can, and it's a need on their football team. It's like the number one thing you look at to go, they need something at that position. There's no game-changing presence there, right? I did think about corner here, I'm not going to lie. I thought about it.
Quinyon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Quinyon Mitchell, Dallas Turner, Byron Murphy, and Latu, to me, are the four best defensive players in the draft, right? And I think that, yes. I mean, a guy like Quinyon Mitchell, I think, is in a class of his own at corner right there. So, I thought about it. I was like, man, maybe the Falcons would go corner here. But I think all in all, it makes sense for the reasons you said. And Dallas Turner's got some traits about him that are very, very special. And another guy that I would say could be a superstar, but I still think has a very high floor too. I don't look at him going, oh, he's going to be a bust or anything like that, right? He might not be what we think he might be, but I don't think it's going to be bust is going to be part of this conversation.
He's just so gifted with the length, the speed,
exactly.
the explosive nature.
Right. Like, okay, like he doesn't get 15 sacks a year. He gets 7, but he's still your starting outside linebacker for a long, long time.
All right, let's move over to the next portion of the draft as we recapped 1-8 if you're watching the show. 9, the Bears. This was the first one where I was like, oh, this is different.
Yeah.
You have them taking Leiatu Latu, the pass rusher from UCLA.
I know a lot of people think receiver, right? I look at it and go, how many fucking receivers do they need?
Right.
I mean, you got DJ Moore, you got Keenan Allen, they got Cole Kmet. They got Gerald Everett. They got Vesus Jones and some other guys that I think they're thinking like, hey, they can come up the ranks here and help us out. And my other thought, too, is, you know, one, they have a need at this position, this pass rusher. You know, the pass rushers, especially to me, Dallas Turner and Latu, I think for the most part are in, from most of the people I've talked to, a little bit of like, hey, we think they're almost in a tier by themselves. So I'm going to go that thought there. Right, from what I've heard from people around the league. And then I think on top of that, like, we always, help the young quarterback, get him more weapons. Sometimes having the best defense in football, it really helps the young quarterback too, right? I don't think they're weapon-deprived there with what we just said, right? So now I look at it and go, hey, you know what to help a young quarterback? When the other team only scores 9 points and you just have to score 10 to win, that'll help the other team, your quarterback, right? So I look at it as a need of the team. I think the guy is such a damn good player, right? I look at their team and go, I think they're really close, and I think the other pass rusher is the only thing I look at to go, they need that, and I go, wow, that team is fucking legit.
Him and Montez Sweat would be an
incredible,
really exciting duo. And to your point about it, they also pick at 75 if they want that, you know, middle of the roster pass catcher. Like, you can get a developmental pass catcher to play behind the veterans at 75. It's not like this is your one chance.
Yeah, exactly.
In a deep wide receiver draft.
I think we all look at it and go, yeah, I mean, would we be shocked if they found their third starting receiver at pick 75? Like, no. Not
happens all the time.
Exactly right.
All the time.
Exactly.
So 10, the Jets. This has been one of the most debated.
Yeah.
People think they can move up for a wide receiver. I think they would love to move back to get more day two capital. I think it's going to be easier said than done.
Yep.
You have them taking, ironically, my favorite pick for them,
yeah,
Troy Fatanu from Washington, because Fatanu played left tackle. He could probably truly play all 5 spots in the offensive line.
That's why I put him there.
Right.
You know? And again, I know, hey, listen, I went big picture with the Jets. I know Brock Bowers, everybody's saying that, and I could see that. And I think Brock Bowers is worth the number 10 pick.
Yeah, he's
I don't think
good.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I just, the thing I've been saying to people on radio or my friends or whatever else is just go, are you really going to roll the dice on Tyrone Smith and Morgan Moses that they're going to stay healthy the whole year? I mean, you're really going to do that? With a quarterback who's like coming off an injury and older anyways, and a quarterback that I would tell you even before the injury had a hard time standing in the pocket and letting throws happen down the field and letting plays develop, right? So that's where I just go, to me, it's the smart pick. It's the big picture pick, and it's also, even for the short term, not as crazy as people think, too, for all the reasons you said. And I think he's one of the probably the safest picks of the draft because of what you talked about, the position versatility, really good, solid football player.
Tyron Smith hasn't played a full season since 2015. That's almost a decade ago.
That's insane.
That's insane.
Yes.
And the thing I always argue with Fatanu is John Simpson was a fine signing at left guard.
Yeah.
Troy Fatanu is winning the left guard job over Simpson.
Right.
So your offensive line would be Tyron Smith, Troy Fatanu,
yeah,
Joe Tippmann, Elijah Vera Tucker, Morgan Moses.
Yeah.
Like, that's how Aaron Rodgers is going to have success.
I would agree with that, totally. Yeah. I mean, I think in their perfect world, too, right? Yeah, they'll figure it out, whatever that goes. I think they're expecting Simpson to be their starting guard.
Right.
With what they paid him, right? All those things would tell me that, right? And what I would think is they're almost looking at it like, hopefully, hey, he could come in and maybe he could be the starting right tackle right off the bat or something like that. And we'll have Morgan Moses just as a backup, right?
And
we
he
don't
will
have to depend
play.
On him. Right. So, that's interesting. But I also think he's very much, Elijah Vera Tucker-ish in that
without
versatility.
That's my comparison for him.
It really is. Yeah. I get it. I see it right away, too.
Yeah, I think Fatanu and Taliza Fuongo, the two offensive linemen, play for the Jets at 10. 11, all right, the Patriots.
Yeah.
This was the move back.
Yeah.
So you have them taking Drake May here. Completely makes sense. Here's my question for you with the Patriots.
Right.
Say they answer the phone like you think they could.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a cutoff that they go, we just can't go there because, like you said, we still need a guy? And, 11 might not be the cutoff.
Yeah.
You had a quarterback fall.
Yeah, but you're
two quarterbacks
danger,
here.
Right.
But, right, what is, the danger thought
for them? I think that, I thought about that. One, because I come to that thought, right? And just two is, talking to people around the league and, a few people that have a little feel, know New England. Right. I mean, again, I made fun of this today on Pro Football Talk. They're going into the year with Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe. They're going to take a quarterback, right? Now, is it here? I would expect so, because I think you're in danger if you wait any longer, right? That would be the big thing. Okay, you traded. You got the 23rd pick, right, from Minnesota in that trade. But damn, I don't think you're guaranteed of, you're playing Russian roulette if you think a quarterback's going to be there. And again, with the Drake May thing and the conversation there, hey, the New England would be a spot you'd go, okay, again, Jacoby can start this year. We can work on Drake. And if Drake blows us out of the water in training camp early on in the year,
great.
We just make him the starter. Great. But this is a spot where he can develop a little bit. And again, that's where I don't think they're comfortable with him at 3. I think there's things they like. Things between that, things I've heard. And then Gerard Mayo at the owners' meeting bringing up that Drake May is raw and has some things to work on, that was my first big signal of they don't want to take Drake May at 3. They recognize that there's some things that he's got to get better at and polished at, right? So that would be the reason I made that happen there.
So this is the beginning of this quarterback trifecta here.
Yeah.
12 is the Broncos.
Yeah.
You have them taking Bo Nix.
I do. I have no inside info here. I know a lot of people look at Bo Nix and all these mocks, and listen, I get it. I see it. I'm like, damn, I'm the only one that I've seen so far that's got Bo Nix going this high, right? But I also look into the same conversation you kind of just talked about. You're going to risk what? Not having one of these guys there later in the round if you want to trade
them? They don't have a second-round pick.
So that's what I mean. It's to me, it's go time. Will they maybe trade down, or do they have a feel that maybe Bo Nix could be there in the 20s? And
that's the thing
picks?
I heard. I
could
see
that.
If they can get out of the pick,
right,
they'd feel better about themselves taking
him in 20s.
That's the one thing I heard.
I get it.
But that's easier said than done.
Right.
You can't play the ticky-tack game with quarterbacks.
I would agree. You better be careful.
You could do it with, guards.
You better be fucking careful. I'm with you, and they need somebody, and I look at that, and again, maybe they could read the board right and figure that out and drop down and still get them, but I think that's a risky proposition, like we talked about. And where I love, Bo Nix, as the more time's gone on, the more I've actually liked him, just because, man, the decision making, the throwing, he really can play the position. And what I do there is I go, Sean Payton needs somebody that can play now. He needs now. And that's where I look at Bo Nix and go, hey, he's old, he's mature, he's played a lot. And I think if you took anybody who played the position the most by the book out of these quarterbacks we're talking about, Bo Nix plays the game most by the book, right? He made the most, quick decisions, third read, right? Accurate throws, right? I know he throws screens, but he's not installing the offense. I get that, but he's still really good at that. And he's got some playmaking ability to extend plays that I really like. I feel like there's laying in the weeds for Bo Nix.
I think he's the point guard of this quarterback class.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you there.
Like, you don't want him chucking up 30 threes.
No, he's not going to be that. Like, it's not going to be, wow, oh my gosh, laser. It's going to be good throw. Ooh, good location. Ooh, nice little play getting out of the pocket, making a throw on the run there. Ooh, I like that. Oh, wow, there was a good, whoa. That was a good, threw a comeback. Oh, that was pretty good. Oh, nice little accurate throw.
Right.
Oh, nice play with his legs. Oh, another good throw. Right. It's not going to be like, oh, laser, sidearm. Oh, my gosh, Caleb Williams crossing route, post. Like, it's not going to be that. He's going to run the system, and then he's going to make the plays when they're there to be had.
Well, that guy goes at 13 to the Raiders. It's Michael Penix.
Yeah.
You want lasers and big throws. Big throws and big misses.
Yeah.
It's Michael Penix.
That's it. And, there's some things he's got to clean up with his mechanics and things like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, the pure talent is there. He's made to throw that fucking football with his left hand. And the Raiders, to me, this would be I always use the frame like, beacon of hope, whatever, a guy that you can look at and go, man, the future, we got this guy. This is awesome. I think he's ready to play right away. You got an insurance policy and Gardner Minshew behind him. And of course, Aiden O'Connell there, you're all good to go. But Penix, I look like with Bo Nix in a lot of ways where, again, the amount of reps they have, how old they are, the maturity they've shown to this point already, I think they're ready to go and you could start a new era there. But they need a quarterback. They need something. I thought about doing some other things with them too, but I just came away with it going, man, gosh, if I'm Antonio Pierce and I'm sitting there, I'm going, man, are we really going to try to, can I win the AFC West or make a run or really stamp my spot as the Raiders head coach with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell? I'm not sure I would feel that way.
No, and he's been pretty vocal.
Yeah.
You got to get a quarterback.
Exactly.
You got to make it happen.
Exactly.
All right, 14, the Saints. Byron Murphy comes off the board here. He is the third defensive player off the board in this situation.
I feel like, there's a cliff here with some of these defensive positions where I feel like that would be my one thing when I look at mock drafts and where people have people ranked. I'd go, no, these guys are like priority, and there's not a lot of them. And Byron Murphy is fucking phenomenal football player. I mean, for me, without a doubt, one of the best players in this draft. I look at the Saints. You look at their football team. They're getting up there in age in the front, right? I mean, you go through it as far as their football, their whole thing there. I mean, Cam Jordan's coming to an end, right? It's a defensive head coach, right? Yeah, look at some other needs that I think about corner. I did to a degree. But, Paulson Adebo's a baller. They still got Marshawn Lattimore.
Right.
They got Alante Taylor. They got some other people in the secondary where I went, I don't think that's as desperate a need. The tackle position, I did think about.
That's the one I was going to ask you about.
Right.
Trevor Penning's been a colossal letdown.
A disaster. But are they going to let it go? Are they going to just call it?
We'll
I don't
find
know.
Out.
The Ryan Ramczyk injury, right? I don't know there. Andrus Peat's still on the street, I believe, right?
Yeah, he is.
Where I would go, like, I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up back there. But, the guard position, they're good. Center and two guards between,
McCoy,
Ruiz, and
yeah.
Hurst.
Yep.
They're good at guard, right? Ramczyk is, so the tackle thing was the other thing I thought about there. I did. But I kind of looked at it and I went, I don't think they're going to give up on the Penning thing quite yet, right? And I look at it as a defensive head coach where the defense started to fall off a little last year. They need some difference-making young studs in the front seven. I know they got Brian Brazee last year, right? Did a good job.
Yeah,
we'll see where that goes.
Need more from him.
But, yeah, they need more from him. Now you get another guy like this, right? I just thought the talent of the player, the need, right? And the fact that we talk about the tackle position, I think they're going to stand pat with tackle and ride this group out one more year, and I think they make the move for the D tackle.
The Saints do pick at 45, so it's not like they're out of range to help their offensive line there.
No, either. There could be some guys there.
Like Sua Matia range.
He could be there, right?
That's his range.
You know, I don't know if Jordan Morgan from Arizona will be there. Be close,
35
right?
to 45.
Right. Yeah, I know. There's a few that'll be in that range that should be available.
15, the Colts. This is where Brock Bowers goes.
Yeah.
Ideal fit.
They don't have anything like this, right? You know, their offensive line's pretty damn good. I know I saw Chris Ballard make a comment this week about, hey, they want to protect Anthony Richardson, right? I mean, I don't look at anything like glaring that they need right this second, right? I mean, you tell me if you think there's something they need there.
Here's the one where I could see them doing it because he could also play guard.
Right.
I could see them knowing what Ballard values, Taliza Fuanga.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one.
Quentin Nelson part two.
Right.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, cool. And Nelson plays on the left side. So then it's like, cool, we got it on the right side.
I thought that about
would that. That would be the one.
Shane Steichen just came from a team in Philadelphia that had just five fucking killers up
right
front.
Downhill.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? But then I also got into, you know, hey, Brock Bowers is really good. He's a good run blocker. And, ooh, we got Anthony Richardson. And, ooh, you know, what Jalen Hurts had with Goddard and all of that, another piece to this offensive puzzle of, oh, he's behind the, you know, Richardson's running the ball. Richardson's running around the edge. It's a bootleg. Oh, Brock Bowers is in the flat. Oh, he fakes to this guy. Brock Bowers is behind the line of scrimmage. He comes out on the other side. There, boom, Brock Bowers. I just think he fits a lot of things there. They don't have a tight end, anything like him. He's extremely talented. If he's a little bigger, I think he's definitely a top 10 pick, probably even higher than that. Thought about that O lineman there, but I just felt like, man, Brock Bowers makes sense for the Colts and how they're going to run their offense.
16, you have a trade up again.
Yeah.
I do think this team should be aggressive, and I like what you did here for the Eagles coming into Seattle's
pick. I got the Eagles going up to 16 with Seattle. You look at the Eagles and you go, their team is embarrassingly awesome, right? It's embarrassingly awesome. You're just like, oh my God, it's fucking one stud after another in every position group, right? I mean, it make you drool over them. The only position you don't is corner. It's the only one you look at and go, eh, right?
Got old quick.
Darius Slay, I think he wants more money. Bradbury didn't play very good. Slay, it's not going to continue to go on an upward trajectory. We're not there at this point in his career. What are we getting, year 10, 11, right? So I look at it, bold move. That's what the Eagles do. And I think you could argue this is the best defensive player in the draft. That's what I think of Quinyon Mitchell. I think for a lot of people, I know he's top two or three as far as their defensive players are concerned. And, you know, good corners are not easy to find. They're not. Good man-to-man cover corners. And this guy's special. And I think the Eagles are going to make a move here with their embarrassment of riches and get up there and get him.
The Eagles have 2 second-rounders, pick 50 and pick 53. So if they want to go, they can. They got the ammo to do it.
That was part of my reasoning behind it. The thing, and you know, and probably a player or two that they could throw in too. If they're one of their embarrassment of riches. I don't know who that would be, but that's all I'm saying is they can easily make this move. There's no doubt about that.
17, Jacksonville Jaguars. You have them taking one of my favorite corners in the draft. If he could just get a little bit bigger, that's Nate Wiggins out of Clemson.
Not
a lot of guys move like this.
No, I was a little stuck with them. I wasn't sure what to do. I kind of came back to my same thought here a little bit of like, one, it's easily their biggest positional need, in my opinion.
I'm almost positive it'll be corner.
Yeah, you think it'll be corner?
It's one of the teams I feel the best about.
That's why I had the Eagles moving up in front of them.
Right.
That's why I did it, because I was like, wait, the Eagles, if they want to make a move for one of these corners, and I would think they like Quinyon Mitchell, they're going to go, ooh, the Jags are going to take Quinyon Mitchell. We need to go in front of them. So that's why I did it. And, you know, I know that they're looking at that position anyways, of course, the Eagles. And that's not groundbreaking news. So that's why I did that. But now you look at the Jaguars and go, oh, man, that messes up their plans. What would they do? Right? I still have Rome Odunze on the board. Would they go receiver? I certainly thought about that. I don't think they're doing O-line. I don't think so. They made some moves in free agency. They drafted a first-round tackle last year, right? Cam Robinson's coming back from injury. I don't think that's the move. Right? But I could be wrong.
have a lot of money tied into this group.
That's where I was like, are they going to really go into that again, right? More assets there?
From left tackle to right guard, they are all paid.
So
all paid. And then the other ones, their first rounder from last year, Anton Harrison, right tackle.
So I just look, I can't imagine that. And corner is clearly the spot to look at there. You know, I would have, D-tackle would have been on my radar, but they got Eric Armstead. Right, I don't think they're going to go pass rusher here. They need a true cover corner, and Nate Wiggins, after Quinion Mitchell, is, for my money, clearly the best man-to-man cover corner not named Mitchell.
Yeah, and for the people that have the concerns about the size, I'll say this about Nate Wiggins. He doesn't turn 21 until the end of his first training camp.
Yeah.
He's one of the youngest players in the draft.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to buy in and believe he's going to get bigger and stronger, he's really young.
Well, and what like, you know, one, like, I think that stuff's like over talked about anyways.
Right.
Right.
Especially in this league.
I mean, I mean, he'll be 180, you know, probably in another 2 years, year and a half. Right. But man, there's a lot of good corners that are 180, 179. Right. It's not that far off here. And the way he moves and runs is special. It really is. Like, I wanted to say, like, I wonder what Darius Slay weighed coming out, but he was probably like 190, I'm going to say. I can't remember exactly, but, you know, that's a guy that he kind of reminds you of when you watch him on film.
Slay was 192.
192, okay. So he was, that's 20 pounds. That's a difference, certainly. You know, but
it wasn't as tall. Slay's under 6 feet tall.
Under, so he's 5'11 and change, right? And, you know, again, sometimes I think this is like, I don't know how you feel. It's like us talk. It's scout talk. It's all that. Like, we're not getting this guy to fucking tackle.
Right.
I'm not getting this guy to, like, set the edge against the Titans and Bill Callahan.
Be across from the number one wide receiver and run with him all day.
Exactly right. Calvin Ridley, we got to play him now. You got to run with him when he runs 60 yards down the field and Levis throws a bomb.
You know who misses tackles plenty? Sauce Gardner.
Most good corners do.
And who cares?
Right.
Because he's one of the best corners in the NFL.
Exactly
all day long.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Deion Sanders, as Pete reminds us. All right, I got to ask you about 18. I want to spend time on this.
Yeah.
Bengals at 18. Roma Dunze.
Yeah.
I think if he was there, it makes a ton of sense. Yeah. Is this one where you got to this point in the draft and you're like, you know what? I just didn't find a place for Roma Dunze. Or is this some of, hey, you never know. Like, a guy could, there's always a guy each year that we didn't see coming that falls.
I feel like there always is that, right? It kind of worked more the first way you said it. This is not like an inside info or an inkling. Here's one thing I do know. I think everybody likes a Dunze. I just think everybody likes him in a different area, right? So I'm like, I don't know if like those one or two teams we talk about in the top 10 that might take him. If they don't take him, then where does he go? And I think this is kind of where the area he would start to come back into the conversation again. I feel like. You know, I could be wrong there. And everybody has him as a first-round grade. But I feel like the people even I talk to, you know, some have him in the, okay, maybe he's 8 to 12. And then I have others that are like, no, we think he's kind of in like low 20s, mid-20s type of pick, right? So that's where, you know, it kind of worked out that way organically for me. But then I looked at it. You look at Cincinnati, right? I kind of looked at their board. What would they might need? Where would they go here? Right. You know, you're getting into the last year of the T. Higgins thing with the franchise. Tyler Boyd's gone. Joe Burrow is clearly the strength of their football team. I don't know if I really saw, you know, D tackle I thought about. Right. That was part of
Murphy's gone.
Murphy's gone. You know, so that was part of the combo there. I thought about tackle a little bit.
Yeah. Like an Amarius Mims.
Exactly. Right. But. You know, again, come back to it and go, they're not, like, desperate at line. Right. And, you know, they got Orlando Brown. They got three interior O-linemen that are pretty good. The kid Carmen Jackson's still there. You know, I felt like this one would be one where they just couldn't pass it up with
Momodunze
being on the board. And Trent Brown. I knew I was missing a Brown.
Yeah, that's their right tackle.
So they're not desperate. I think
if they drafted Amarius Mims, they'd have the three biggest tackles in the world.
Right, right. I know. I mean, there would be another one where I'd go, they're not desperate there. They can get the receiver here and maybe get an offensive lineman in the second, do something like that to, you know, add a little depth and feel better about the position overall.
All right, let me walk the people through the next scenario.
Yeah.
So you had the Seahawks trade out of 16 with the Eagles.
Yeah.
That sent them to 22.
Right.
Now you have the Rams trade with Seattle.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So the Seahawks now are back up to 19.
Yes.
from 22. A little bit of Arizona style last year.
Exactly.
Bounce around the board. What did you have them do that for?
Well, I got into this here a little bit with the Seahawks just because, yeah, got them dropping down after that trade. But also them sitting there going, wait, you know, we need an interior offensive lineman in a bad way. And some of these teams that we just traded behind also need offensive linemen.
Miami?
And right, exactly. So they could be stealing our guy here or whatever, right? Because after this is Steelers, Dolphins, right? Exactly. Steelers and Dolphins right after this, who we both, I think, would agree are certainly heavily in the offensive line conversation.
For sure.
Right? So that's why I did that. And then I look at Seattle, and I went, wait, it could be guard or tackle. I don't know. Right? Abraham Lucas was hurt last year. You know, they got Cross still left tackle. I was like, I think they're going to go inside interior here. Oregon State's right around the corner. This fucking guy can also play tackle, right, like if he needs to, right? So that's where I went with them with Fulwaga. And I think they'll make him guard is what I would want to do, like you just talked about with him and the Colts, right? And now you got two pretty big-time tackles. You got him at guard, and you got something working there.
I also think I like the thought with the Rams, too. I think the Rams will be really flexible. They're in no man's land at 19.
I think so, too.
Whether it's up or down.
Right.
I think we'll see a lot of flexibility with the Rams.
I looked at them, and just they're in a spot there, too, where, yeah, as I looked at the Rams and got them trading back down to 22, I went, they need, to me, front seven, period.
Yeah.
And there's a number of guys on the board at front seven. And then I looked at it and went, they're going to feel good that the Steelers and Dolphins are not going to be drafting front seven. So they could still get the same player that they wanted at 19 at 23 or 22, excuse me. And that's why I did that.
All right, 20, the Steelers. You have them getting what I think is one of the better values of this draft.
Yeah, I mean, by a lot of people looked at as a safe guy because the way he pass protects, right? Olu Fashanu, right? Fashanu.
Yeah, you had it the first time.
Fashanu.
Fashanu.
Fashanu. Yeah. It is Fashanu.
Yeah. Olu Fashanu.
I think I started off the wrong way and then got to the right way and went back. But it's Olu.
Yep.
Either way, yes, got him going there, right? Now, here's another one that I would tell you is a little all over the place with some of my friends that I talk to in the NFL.
Oh, the variance on him is insane.
It really is.
I know people that are like, not my type in the first round. I know people that are like top 15 pick every day.
Exactly.
I lean more. I think he's a top 15 pick. I don't think he will be.
I think he's somewhere in between me, right?
Right here.
Right? Because some of my, exactly. Because some of my, but you said it right. I've had some people go like, we think he's one of the safer tackles in the draft. And I've had others go, we think he's a second round pick.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay. All right. So, you know, I think the teams that value run game and all that really don't like
Olu.
That's the problem,
the
right?
Yeah.
And so that's the problem. But either way, the Steelers have a need there. You know, I'm a little bit of a sucker of like, hey, we're Pittsburgh. Hey, Penn State's right down the road. We got all the inside info on this guy. We've been watching him for a while. So I went with that and, you know, had them address the offensive line issues.
So probably Broderick Jones at right tackle.
I think so.
I think Olu's a true left tackle.
I think so, too. Agreed. So, yeah, I would imagine it to be that happening that way. I thought about interior O-line. You know, all of those things went to my thought process, but I think there was a little more desperation here of getting the tackle for the future here more than anything, and that's where they go with Olu.
21, the Dolphins. This is just one of those picks that it just makes so much sense with Grant Barton, elite athlete, another guy probably going to play guard, but in a pinch could probably survive at tackle,
which
is where he played for Duke.
Could even play center, I think.
Could definitely play center.
You know, I think that's where I like it. They need somebody that's just going to work no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's where like Graham Barton's safe that way. And whether that is to play tackle and maybe he can do that right, I don't think it's his best spot. I think you agree with me there.
I do. I evaluate him as a guard.
Yeah, I think he's a guard as well, right? And they need that. You know, again, they need a little everything. They lost their center from last year. He's not there, right? You know, Connor Williams, who's still dealing with an injury and rehabbing that. All right? They lost their guard, Hunt, to the Panthers.
$100 million man.
$100 million man, right? I mean, you know, left tackle Teron Armstead has been hurt a lot, right? It has got to be O-line here. You know, Dolphins are one of those teams, you know, I when I first started the process, I was like, would they trade up to Little to make sure they get the tackle they want? But I also was like, Dan, I don't know. They got enough things to worry about on their football team. Just stay there, want to fall down.
Because they lost Christian Wilkins, too. Yeah. So at some point, they're going to need a little bit of D-line depth.
Right.
22, the Rams. This is them moving back three spots because of the Seattle trade. You have them taking Darius Robinson from Missouri, who's played D-tackle and edge pass rusher.
Yeah.
As well. He's played all up and down the line of scrimmage.
He kind of fits both as far as edge, D-tackle. I can look at him more as a D-tackle, but I certainly think he could play on the edge in certain defenses and formations and personnel sets or whatever else there. I love Darius Robinson. I think he is a fucking awesome football player. No Aaron Donald, as we know there, right? You know, I know they got their kid last year, Kobe Turner,
right? Steal the draft.
Yeah, who had a like, you know, a really awesome year. I thought about pass rusher here, right? I thought about maybe would they go Jared Verse, right? I certainly thought about that, or maybe even a Chop Robinson, something there. But I feel like Robinson, Darius Robinson, is a little bit of a notch up for me as a player compared to those guys. And I look at it and go, wait, he can kind of do D-end and D-tackle and almost fit two needs in one for this football team. I kind of went that way.
Right, and I think to your point, they took Byron Young last year,
right,
who's kind of that explosive
edge guy,
wide alignment
exactly,
guy, pass
right.
rusher first.
Right.
You've talked about Michael Hoyt on this podcast, very unconventional 300-pound stand-up rusher.
Yeah.
So then a guy like Darius Robinson, a little more heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Right, gives you
not
a
your pass rusher extraordinaire.
No, but
he can
brawl a little more.
Exactly right. I mean, I think he could play three technique and be awesome there. And then he's going to be able to two gap. Like he'd probably be the best two gapping D lineman you're going to see in this draft. Because once, like you said, heavy handed. When he gets his hands on people and his arms are straightened out, like I don't give a shit who you are. You're going for a ride on the Darius Robinson cartwheel. He's going to throw you around a little bit. And I think that's where he's made for that. And they asked their guys to do some of that stuff there.
So 23, the Patriots get to pick again from the Minnesota trade. And, man, do they need a left tackle worst way. And you have them taking Amarius Mims.
Amarius Mims. I love Amarius Mims. You know, I thought about the Oklahoma kid maybe just because I know Amarius Mims has a little bit of the injury concern, right?
Right.
We talked about this, though.
But he's just better.
He is.
He's better.
Agreed. I mean, Amarius Mims, for me, pass protection-wise, like, ready, day one. He's phenomenal. He really is. And, you know, I saw the improvement of the year. Huge body, right? They believe that up in New England. It's a big need there. I think that's a no-brainer.
I think I've told you this before for Patriots fans listening because they probably are like, oh, well, he played right tackle. We need a left tackle. Mims told me he practiced 40% of the time at left tackle.
Wow.
At his practices at Georgia.
Yeah.
Those practices are just different there. Like, they get those guys tailor-made for the NFL.
Right.
So this dude, he truly can play either side.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, guys like that, again, it's a less drastic transition than, let's just say, dribbling with your left hand.
Right.
I mean, it really is. We sometimes, I think, make a little bit too big of a deal about it, right? Where it's like, no, the really good ones, these guys we're talking about right here, they don't, it's not that big of an adjustment to shuffle right or, oh no, I got to go to the other side and shuffle left.
Yeah.
It's not as big as I think sometimes everybody makes it out to be.
24, the Cowboys, you keep the tackle run going. This is where Tyler Guyton goes, the one-year starter right tackle from Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, again, O-line definitely need there in Dallas.
Yeah.
And, I thought about pass rusher here, too. I did. I think that was one area I looked at. There's no safety or anything like that jumps out to you.
Too early for a center. They have nothing at center, but it's early.
I know. And
like nothing.
Like the kid from West Virginia or Jackson Powers Johnson, right? I thought about them. I did. You know, ultimately, I think they're kind of like mid-second round guys, I think, you know, right? Somewhere around 38, we start to see those two guys go. And I just went, tackle. Hey, you do that. Maybe you get a guy here. It's your starting left, starting right, whatever you want to do there. Either way, they got to figure out what they want to do with Tyler Smith. I guess they're going to move him to tackle, I'm expecting, right? The weak link of the team last year on the offensive line was Steele at right tackle.
Yeah.
He was an issue. And not only, one, do they just need more bodies and players altogether, like you're saying, I just didn't see the interior guy that made sense there with the value of that pick right there. So that's where I went with Tyler Guyton, who I like and is extremely athletic. And another guy I would go, needs work in the run game and stuff like that, but pass protection-wise, I think he's pretty damn close to being ready to go.
25, the Packers, Cooper DeJean. Who can do everything for that secondary that kind of needs that chess piece player.
The Packers are another team that when you start to look at their roster and you break them down, you start to go, they're a really well put together football team.
They are, yeah.
Right? Like another team that I thought about O-line, I looked at it, but I don't think they're desperate on O-line. It's one of the better O-lines in football. Let's just state that clearly.
One needs to fall. Like if Graham Barton just fell into their lap,
then
that's
maybe.
Their type.
Sure.
Maybe.
Right, right. I mean, I could see that. Okay. You know, and I saw some people that had him like, you know, taking a tackle or doing stuff like that. I mean, again, with the way mine fell out, there's no tackle to me that makes sense there, right? And you look at it, corner, secondary player. I thought about Terrion Arnold, right? Would that make sense here? They got Kasim Nixon, right? They got Stokes still there, who's a first-round pick from Georgia. They, of course, got Jair Alexander, right? You know, I know they got Xavier McKinney. I got that. But you look at their team, they don't need a ton. And Cooper DeJean can kind of be, like you said, that I could be safety, I could be strong safety, I could be in a nickel in a certain situation.
I can cover Sam Laporta.
Exactly. He's going to be able to cover tight ends.
Right.
You know, so Hockenson, Laporta, he's going to have to, he'll be able to man up. Right.
6 games a year are those 3.
So I certainly can see that. And smart football player, really damn good athlete. Just don't want him outside playing corner. You kind of want him in those positions we talked about there. Cooper DeJean, Packers.
26, the Bucs get pass rush help. I think this is an area they really need. And Jared Verse falls to 26, which would be great for them.
I mean, it would. Do you? I certainly seem to be in the negatives or more low on him than others. It kind of fell this way naturally for me. I think that Jared Verse would be another guy that, you know, a little bit all over the place, where some people might like him in the mid-teens or whatever. You know, but I think there is a group of people that think he's right around this range, too. And it kind of just happened that way. But, I mean, they need somebody. Shaq Barrett, gone, right? You know.
Previous picks haven't worked.
Exactly right.
They've tried
Tryon
this
a Shanko,
lot.
Just, you know, the solid
kid.
Player. The Houston kid, Logan, right?
Yes.
You know, hasn't really worked that way either. And he's kind of like a hybrid DN tackle. They need a true pass rusher, and that's where I think Jared Verse fits in real well.
27, the Cardinals back on the clock. They took Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4. Here you have them go corner with Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, I mean, this is one I went back and forth with, right? I mean, Terrion Arnold, here's what I'm not. I don't think Terrion Arnold should be drafted here, okay? I'm just going to be plain and simple. But I know I'm in the minority there. I know. And I know from too many people that it sounds like he's going in the first round.
Yeah.
Right? So you look at them and you go, corner is a position they truly do need to address, right? There's not a lot there as far as Arizona and looking at it. And I do look at him and go, he's a safe, smart guy with a guy like Jonathan Gannon who does a lot of different stuff on defense. You know, they certainly need a nickel type of football player. And again, I think just smart, good football player that fits what I would think is the Monty Ossenfort kind of formula for guys coming from New England and what he does.
Like steady.
That's exactly. Steady, safe, going to be able to handle all our multiple defenses and all of that. So that's where I went with Terrion Arnold.
That's why I think him or Kool-Aid is in play at this pick. I think both Alabama guys are in play.
I hear you. And, you know, I almost put Kool-Aid with a team here down at the end, but I ended up not going against it. But, I certainly could see them being a part of that conversation there.
28, if this happens for the Bills,
well,
they won the first round.
No doubt.
Brian Thomas Jr. falls to 28.
If you would have asked me this 2-3 weeks ago, it was, there's no fucking way this happens.
Right.
Right. I've told you that I definitely know people that Brian Thomas is way up there as far as what they think of him as a receiver. Right. That was one of the things that when I left my receiving rankings, I got a lot of feedback on that one. He has off the field. He has an injury concern.
Okay.
Right. I don't think it's like a huge one, but I know I've learned that from multiple teams that there is an off-the-field injury thing
like
there.
Not top 15.
Not top, like lock. People aren't going to be feeling comfortable there. So this is where I think he can kind of fall to, right? But yeah, I was made aware of that. I'm going to say about, I came in here one day and told my people, I've had people reach out to me say there's an off-the-field thing, and I told them, and they're like, oh, you always like the guys with the off-the-field problems. That's what they like Matt Casey and Pete made fun of me for.
Well, he's 6'3 and runs 4'3.
Yeah,
so
right. I was like, I don't know. I just like that, right? But then I came to find out as I text people back, like, what's the deal? It seems like there's an injury thing there, a little bit of a concern there, and I think that's why I got him falling down.
The Bills at wide receiver at 28 feels like a lock. I would call. Closest thing to a lock.
I would think so, right?
Don't know if they'll get this lucky. Maybe.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe.
I know. And, you know, yeah, I mean, if it's not him, I mean, would they go pass rusher, or do they go to the Adonai Mitchell,
Xavier Worthy, something like that?
Right.
Exactly.
It's all in play there.
29, the Lions. You have this a fit that I've really liked as well. I did a what I would do mock draft and had this pick. Chop Robinson, pass rusher from Penn State, because with Aiden Hutchinson across the way, now you just have an explosive guy that things are kind of watered down of what you're asking him to do.
I mean, another team that you look at and go pretty well built.
Right.
This is probably the only spot that I look at to go, okay, they could use an upgrade here, right? You know, he's a totally different animal than Aiden Hutchinson, like you said. And, yeah, you can play him on the weak side and go, hey, you don't have to worry about the run game as much and fly upfield and get after it, right? Cause some disruption,
yeah,
and I think it's an area of their football team that, you know, needs an improvement. I, you know, other positions I thought about with them, like, right, I mean, you know, D tackle, they're stacked at D tackle. I don't think there's a corner there that makes sense for them. Plus, they did a lot in the free agency with corner, where I don't think they're desperate to address this need in the first round. The Lions are a team that I certainly sat here and thought they could trade out of the first round. Certainly.
I could see it.
I wouldn't be shocked. Right? The Lions fans will be pissed off to sit there and wait for that pick and then not have them do it. But, yeah, there's not a lot of desperate needs on this Lions football team.
Okay, 30, the Ravens. This is where you had Adonai Mitchell come off the board. The Ravens need a wide receiver for sure, and he's got size and speed.
His size and speed, they don't really have that guy like him. You know, Rashad Bateman, it's injured a lot, and this is the last year, right? This is year four
for
him.
That was fast, yeah.
Right. So I think it's a little bit more of a look of the future and, you know, a little bit something as far as dependability to go here. Another team, though, I look at and went, you know, they could trade out here. They could. You know, offensive line, certainly they need some bodies there. I think there's probably guys here in Baltimore that they like that we're not sure how much they like them.
Like Andrew Voorhees, who they stashed last
they
year.
They always have those.
Falele is going to play right tackle.
Exactly.
They are the epitome of, like, next man.
Exactly.
Up. Yeah.
You know, so that's where I kind of go, like, I don't know if they're that desperate to get the old lineman there, and I don't know if anybody really meets that need right there for what they really need. Mitchell's got big time potential. He's not my favorite guy.
We saw it on that. Too much coasting,
right? But there is big time potential. The body, the speed, the measurables, the numbers, all of that are definitely first round worthy.
You know what's really interesting about this?
Yeah.
Mitchell was at Georgia when Todd Monken was the offensive coordinator.
Shit.
So if Mitchell's on the board and they don't take him,
that's a big sign. Right.
Like, that's when you made this pick, I'm like, man, we're going to know. Like, we're going to learn either way.
We definitely are going
to
know.
And then Mitchell transferred to Texas.
Right, right.
So we'll see. It's going to be really interesting.
It'll be very interesting.
30. Speaking of interesting, 31, 49ers, probably one of the bigger surprise picks in round one. Roger Rosengarten, the other tackle from Washington. Really athletic dude.
Athletic dude. Yeah. I know that's Shanahan likes him. I thought about, I mean, again, the 49ers, and I know everybody thinks I always have inside info on the 49ers. I am more clueless on the 49ers than any other team in the fucking draft, okay? Right? This is what happens when you're really close to people.
You don't talk about
those
things.
You don't talk about it at all. And I don't want to talk about it, and I don't want to know about it. And my friend, I think, is avoiding me anyways because he doesn't want to say something and then have me kind of, like, figure it out, you know, by knowing my friend. So I thought about Jordan Morgan from Arizona.
It's a fit.
I certainly thought about that. I just went with the guy. Like, I thought Jordan Morgan, he can play left tackle. I think he's more of a guard. I went with the guy that I thought is just more of the true tackle in Rosengarten. That's why I did it. But I thought about Kool-Aid here because there is – they do need some secondary help. I think Charvarius Ward, this is the last year of his contract, I believe. And there's somebody else, if I can remember off the top of my head, which I can, who's also on the last year of their deal in the secondary, where I thought about Kool-Aid – but I just thought, man, offensive line needs to be addressed, and I'm going to go with Roger Rosengarten.
Whenever I run into this situation, if the corner from Clemson, Nate Wiggins, is there, that's where I have every time. But he's probably just too good that he shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Let me ask you.
No. I don't think you're crazy with your Nate Wiggins thing, right? I've had people definitely ask me, do you think Nate Wiggins goes in the end of round one, right? So there's definitely that thought out there of, will he be that, right? And I think between the size, like you talked about, and then, hey, this is where he was different than Quinyon Mitchell competed in your face every play, and he doesn't want anybody anything. Nate Wiggins got a little bit of like, hey, he's awesome, and he's got a lot of great plays, right? But I think the other thing, too, when you watch Nate Wiggins, this is why you got to watch games. You know, he got a little bit, I think, of, hey, let's just attack the other corner. Right? We're not going to attack you. We're just going to go to the other side. And he got some free passes there. And I think if you look at some of the balls that weren't thrown his way, like, you know, that was one of the things that jumped out to me where I was like, oh, this guy's open here. They just don't want to go there because it's Nate Wiggins and they're going, this is easier. But here's an out route that's open against Nate Wiggins. Here's a comeback that's open against Nate Wiggins. Again, there's still a lot of good. I'm just telling you why I think some teams are a little bit like, he's not a definite, you know, top 22 pick or something like that.
Any chance it's wide receiver.
Mm, I thought about it, right? Because of the Aiyuk situation.
It's just getting worse by the day. And the fact that, like, at least me, I think this is Debo's last year with the Niners.
I wouldn't be shocked by that either, right?
Right?
I thought about it. Mitchell was gone.
That makes us tough.
Would Shanahan want Xavier Worthy?
Right. And I think no.
I don't think so either.
Play strength doesn't really.
I look at
like Jalen Polk as their type, but maybe they think, hey, we can get Jalen Polk later, so we wouldn't do that.
I don't disagree with you that it'd be their type. Yeah. I mean, really good route runner can do that.
One of the best run blockers in the draft.
That's what they value, right?
Yeah. Like, so, jack of all trades.
All those thoughts went through my head, right? And then I was like, I even thought about the fucking receiver from South Carolina.
Oh, Xavier Leggett.
Because I was like, damn, I mean, he's got some Debo-ish about him.
They use him like
except
that.
He's got better long speed than Debo, right?
Yeah.
You know, but ultimately, I went with the O-lineman just because I feel like it's still the biggest need on their football team.
To close this thing out, the Chiefs at 32. I think this is one of the best values of the draft. I really like this player.
Yeah.
You have them taking Jerzon Johnny-Newton, D-tackle from Illinois.
You know, I think it's another team where, of course, it's pretty well built, right? I don't O-line. I know that's, you know, maybe something you could look at there. I don't think that makes sense. And then D tackle. If I had a thing about their team towards the end of last year, is just you wish if Chris Jones isn't in there, you worry about them, right? And hey, we're getting up there in age with all these guys. I mean, you know, Tershawn Wharton's no young spring chicken, but you know, Chris Jones and Mike Pinnell's been forever. Exactly right. So they got to get younger and some better depth there. And yeah, Jerzon can, you know, he can stop the run and he's got true pass rush ability on the interior side. So it's a great spot for him. I'd like to see that happen for the Chiefs.
All right, let's break down your mock draft.
Boom.
Number of players by position. 9, and we'll recap the whole thing right here if you're watching. So a couple notes here. Number of players by position, 9 offensive linemen, 6 guys you view as tackles, 3 as guards, 6 quarterbacks. This would be the second draft ever with 6 quarterbacks in round 1. That was 1983.
Oof.
5 wide receivers.
That was a good draft.
4 edge pass rushers, 4 defensive backs. 3, no safeties, unless you count. Well, you count a Cooper DeJean as
he's a safety.
So he'd be the only one.
Right. I thought about Enos Rakestraw a little bit with some of these teams at the end, right? But I just felt like it's not a first rounder. He'll be somewhere in the top 10, 12 picks of the season.
Yeah, him and Kool-Aid did not make the first round.
Right.
3 defensive tackles, 1 tight end, of course, Brock Bowers. To the surprise of no one, no running backs, no off-ball linebackers.
Yeah, I do.
I don't think that's happening.
No.
I can confidently say there will not be a first-round running back. The only guy, if there's going to be an off-ball linebacker, and I still say it won't happen, would be Junior Colson from Michigan.
Yeah, well,
he could sneak in.
He's the guy.
I think he's awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just the position.
Right. Yeah, I don't think he's a first-rounder to your point. But, yeah, to me, he was as I said on the pod, I said we did linebackers a little last week. I said that would be my first pick off the board. He's the only guy that's a true middle linebacker that you can trust and can kind of do it all there. But, yeah, I think that's more like mid-second probably. No way running back or linebacker, right? The tight end thing is definitely just one. And then, you know, I think, like, you know, you look at D-tackle too. I don't think there's – I think the big thing there is we know it's Chew. I don't think there's any doubt that Byron Murphy and Darius Robinson go. Does Jerzon go?
I think he sneaks in.
Yeah, I know. There's a little bit, like, he's right in that range, right? And I think so, too, because, again, big people like that can move like that, there are not a lot of them out there in the world.
He played some running back in high school.
I heard that. That's insane.
I mean, you watch him chase sideline to sideline, it kind of, like, that light comes on.
I know. Every now and then, and the way he can just kind of turn the corner on a guard and pass rush with some big, strong, powerful strides, I certainly could see that athletic ability.
That was a lot of fun, dude.
I'm glad it's done.
Yeah, it's a like long, tedious process.
It definitely is.
And you start to, like, did I set this up the wrong way?
Did I second guess this?
Yeah.
Wait, I don't want to be holding to what I've seen so much. I know that I've seen 10 mocks that have this guy here, but who the hell says any of them are right? Right? You try to take away all that. Here's the other thing that I found interesting, too. And I texted this to the group the other day. You know, when I really started to do it, I didn't have 32 first-round grades.
I never do.
I
always have 20 to 24.
Yeah, I had like 26 or 7, I think, right? And, you know, maybe one or two guys right on the edge there. But, you know, as you look at that, and I think that's why I ended up having some of these defensive guys and maybe even some of the old linemen go a little earlier just because, again, I think there's a premium on them. And then at those two positions, I think it falls off pretty quick to where teams are going to be pretty antsy to get their hands on one of them.
All right, everybody's probably wondering the plan for this week.
Oh,
so here's all our promo stuff, right? To find all the 2024 NFL Draft content from Unbuttoned, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, PFT, and more, NBCSports.com/NFL Draft, of course. Everything's there. Wednesday.
Everything.
You got a final draft AMA.
Yeah.
And Jay Croucher.
I'm gonna listen to that clip again with Jay here.
Yeah, but don't tell him. Just have him sit on the desk.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, just let it start.
He referenced some movie director.
Yeah.
He's always got a movie or NBA reference. I know about one out of every 12 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah. So that's
good.
So Jay will be on with you. He'll go through the draft props. Thursday night, you and Ahmed. Pick reactions from the barn again. I watched those from last year. It's great. Hilarious.
Thanks.
Excellent content.
Thank you.
Florio pick reactions from his barn.
Yeah.
Dueling barns. I like it.
I know.
It's good living.
I know.
Good living.
We couldn't get Florio to talk about the draft 2 years ago. Now he wants
He's
to make videos in the barn.
Everybody's in
we
the draft
literally,
business.
Matt Casey will tell you, he's sitting up there in the office. We literally, night before the draft 1 year, the rundown came down, right, for the Pro Football Talk show, and draft was, of course, the big part of the cover, and he didn't want to talk about it. He was like, I don't want to talk about the draft. It's a crapshoot. Oh, my gosh, blah, blah, blah. And we were like, what? And, like, he was really adamant about fighting with us for a little while, right? Matt Casey's giving the middle finger to me up there because he's like, you're telling my secrets out loud. We just won't show Florio this clip. He doesn't watch. But, yeah, he didn't want to do it. Now he's fucking making videos in the barn. Like, he's Johnny Draft Expert.
The day he writes a mock draft, like, we've really, you know, converted him.
He's gonna, but he outsources it.
Oh, okay.
He sources it. He tells everybody. But then when he gets one right, he goes, hey, my mock draft, I had that guy going there.
Because he has good
you
information.
You can't make that shit up with him.
Like a mock draft from Florida
he
would be
should
really
be making a mock draft.
He has great information.
Exactly.
Somebody that you want to read a mock draft
exactly.
from.
Exactly. Yeah. He's over here, you know, leading the revolution, though, on the draft. And,
the,
and
war,
we're trying
the great
to,
war against
we're trying
the NFL
to get
draft.
On it.
Me, Jay, and Barry will be here doing reactions for every pick from the happy hour. So we don't have
cool.
a barn.
All right.
Yeah,
are you going to have drinks? Are you going to have a real drink there?
That's a good question.
Can you have that here?
It would be a nice touch.
I mean,
I'll ask this year.
Yeah, you
we
should.
We had pizza last year.
We'll have drinks and smokes at my place.
You guys do it right. That's the way to the draft. Before we get out of here, one AMA. This is from Lee Eisen. Months ago, I made plans with a friend who was visiting L.A. for one night. I didn't realize that night was April 25th, night one of the NFL draft. She doesn't care about football. How do I explain that watching the draft is the closest thing I have to a religious holiday?
Wow.
You have to cancel the plans.
Well, no.
Right?
No, you gotta, to me, what I'm seeing here is you can't cancel the plan, right? It's a friend. Unless you feel like, hey, this person's so cool that they're cool with me canceling it.
Yeah. Oh, visiting LA is tough, though. I didn't see that. I didn't double read that part. You can't cancel a trip.
You got to infuse just, hey, we're going to go to a party together. We're going somewhere together, and we're going to have a great time. And then they get there, and you're like, it's a football party. I just said it's a party, and I think that's what you got to do.
But it's then, all dudes.
You know, you get a little drinks, and hey, it's a new age. It's not all dudes anymore. It's not. We can get, you know, a little bit, but I think that's what you got to do. You know, maybe you go to a bar downtown or something like that that's got the draft on. So, yeah, there's a little bit of everything there, but I think that's the game plan.
You have to have a drinking game involved.
You got
to
get
like, hey, this thing's on.
Right.
It just happens
we
to be
watch.
On.
It's a big night for me, but we're still going to have fun and have other friends here.
Right.
Blah,
here's
blah,
like
blah.
Our drinking bingo sheet or whatever it is.
That's what
I
would say.
And you know what? It actually might go really well.
Right.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Lee, I would like you to report back.
Yeah, please.
To Sims Unbuttoned.
I want to hear what you do.
I actually want to know how you pulled this off or if it's just a complete catastrophe.
Right. You know, try any angle you can. But yeah, we would like the update here, Lee. So
yes.
Please let us know how you handle this and how this all works out. All right. It's very important to us.
Dude, always
everybody.
A blast.
Always. You the man.
Appreciate you, dude.
You doing the show here in a minute? Happy hour today?
No.
So good. Okay.
One of us three comes into work.
You're hilarious.
Yeah. No shot.
All right, everybody. You know where to find us. You know where to find all things NBC Sports. Connor just laid it out there for you. NBCSports.com/NFL Draft. Check us out Wednesday. You know where to find us. We'll be back here. Jay Croucher, AMAs. Connor, thanks as always
for
driving the ship. You the man.
Yes,
you're so much cooler than Ahmed Farid. Just want to state that one more time on the way out. All right, everybody. Be good. Peace out. Clap it up.